And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
I believe there are some things about God, some ways of God, some characteristics of God we do not spend a lot of time discussing. I think it's characteristics that you and I, that would make you and I be... It would make you and I come easy to God. You know, there are things about God, saints, that if we know, we would run to him as kids. And there are things about God we know that keeps us away from him. We hear that he's a God of wrath. We hear things like, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We hear all those things. But what about things like, he's gracious? What about things like he's merciful? What about things like his loving kindness, his tender mercies? Don't you think we should spend some more time discussing these things? Because believe it or not, we need these things in these last days. We need to know that there is a God we can run to. We need to know that there is a God who will not judge us. Will not look at us as others do. We need to know that it's easy to run to God. Well, God says so in the Bible. Look, scripture is littered with information about the goodness of God. And so, I began to scour the Bible. Last week, we left off talking on why it is important for us to understand and know God, the graciousness of God. The Bible says God takes delight in that. When you and I understand and know the graciousness of God, the Bible says God is delighted. Amen? Because you see, it's important to know about somebody. You'll deal with them on the level that you know them. Are you with me? If you know somebody's a good person, it's easy to go to them. Than if you know somebody's grumpy. And so today I want to spend some time to finish up on what we left off last week. I want to speak on today, the title of our sermon today is, Have God Forgotten to be Gracious? Sometimes when the delay is a delay in the manifestation of the grace of God, can you say delay? Sometimes when there is a delay, we question the graciousness of God. We say things like, God, how long? I've been in this situation for a long time. God, are you hearing me? God, are you for real? God, is it true that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, is it true that all the promises of God in Jesus Christ is yes and amen? Because I've been holding out for a long time, and it seems like the promises are not yes and amen. It seems like the promises are delayed. And you get what I'm saying? It is in those times we need to understand who God is. We cannot repeat the issue. We cannot repeat the mistake Zechariah. Who were the parents of John the Baptist? You remember them? Zechariah and who? Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, John the Baptist, his parents. You remember John the Baptist's parents were Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was a devout man. They prayed to God for a child for a long, long time. You remember that? And in their old age, they prayed, nothing happened. Zacharias kept saying, God, aren't you gracious? I heard that you're a good God. I've been asking you to bless me with a seed for years now. What's going on? You know what made the situation worse? Zacharias went home and his neighbor has four sets of twins. They are not Christians. Not only that, they are not married. And God seems to be blessing them with the very thing Zacharias is asking God for. How many of you have found yourself in that situation? I know sometimes I tell some people who cannot identify, I tell them, keep on living. Haven't you find yourself in a place where you need an answer from God? And it seems like an unbeliever is enjoying what you've been asking God for. Huh? Are you getting what I'm saying? You begin to say, God, I thought you were gracious. I heard how you blessed such and such. I've heard how you came through. But what about me? And Zechariah, the Bible says, Zacharias was a devout man. Not only that, he was a preacher. And for years, he and his wife, they've been asking God to bless them with a seed. Don't do what Zacharias did. He threw in the towel. He gave up. And I'm beginning to realize the more I speak with brothers and sisters, they are giving up. They are fainting. God sent me to tell you, you hang in there, because he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. God said, if he said it, he will do it. In his time. And the problem is never God. The problem is what? When you can humble yourself and say that, maybe your healing will come through. Maybe your breakthrough will come. Are you getting me? The problem is who? Never God. The problem is me. Let me say that again. You know, sometimes humility. You know, sometimes humility eludes many of us. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, because we've been in there serving God for a long time and praising God, sometimes we get what I refer to as self-confident. Oh, hallelujah. But there is always another level of learning that's needed. Amen? Always another level of learning. And so today, brothers and sisters, while we are familiar with certain names of God, because as far as God is concerned, as far as the Hebrews are concerned, somebody's character is tied into their name. Mm-hmm. So when you hear things like Jehovah Jireh, we know God is a provider. Mm-hmm. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we hear names like Jehovah Tsidkenu, we know God is our banner. Mm-hmm. Well, there are some names I want to introduce to us today, that names that we have not heard, names of God that we have not heard today, I want to introduce to us. Did you get my exhibit? Praise the Lord. Can you put our exhibit? Amen. Because there are three names today I want to introduce to us, names that the church does not discuss a lot. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? How many of you know of Jehovah Nissi? You heard of Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Jehovah Rohi, the shepherd. But how many of you have heard of Jehovah El Kanun, which is the Lord God is gracious? Jehovah El Rakum, the Lord God is merciful. Jehovah El Arekaf, the Lord God is slow to anger. Oh, glory be to God. How many of you would serve a God like that? To know that God is gracious. God is merciful. God is slow to anger. He doesn't fly off the handle like me. Hallelujah. He's what? Slow to anger. And so I want to spend some time discussing these, because, brothers and sisters, we live in a time where we need to understand these about God. That he's merciful. Merciful meaning that he won't punish you as you deserve. He won't punish me as I deserve, because he's merciful. But rather, I'll experience his favor. His favor is giving me the blessing I don't deserve. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? To be merciful is not to issue the punishment that I deserve. How many of you like me deserve punishment? Mm-hmm. I've failed God, praise the Lord, numerous times. Are you getting me, saints? It's just recently I kind of started to turn the corner. Are you getting what I'm saying? Recently I started turning the corner. I looked back and I said, God has been so good to me. Why have I been so ungrateful? And so I stepped up my praise. I stepped up my worship. Amen. I stepped up my faithfulness. I get what I'm saying? Because I'm beginning to find out that my God is gracious. Like a father, loving father. My God is what? Yes, he is. And he's Jehovah El Arekath. The Lord God is slow to anger. It is not God that's doing that to you. It is not God that's doing that to you. No, 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 no. If I knew, Pastor, if I knew, when I was growing up, if I knew that we live on earth, if I was told, well, you live on earth and things happen. It's not God that's doing and not doing. It's just that earth is messed up. But God hath given us power. The Bible says, for as many as received him, John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power to become the sons and daughters of God. How many of you would agree that you need power in this earth to live as a son and daughter of God? So that power God hath given us, Mr. Gilmer, is to correct wrong things. But that power has to be working, because Ephesians 3:20 tells us God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in you and I. So the power has to be what? Working. So if God is saying it's contingent on the power that works in us, it seems like in some of us the power is not working. Well, that's okay. You don't have to say amen. That's all right. Because I know there was a time that no power was working in me. Amen. And I was humble enough to say, no power here. Amen. Something is wrong. No power here. And then, after I admit that there was no power, I began to do something about it. Well, you what? You turn on the power. You don't call Talquin or the city of Tallahassee. No, no, no. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. You got to turn on the power. How do you turn on the power? You got to get involved in praying, Bible reading, Bible study, sweet fellowship with the saints. Because you cannot live Christianity in a vacuum. Let me say that again. You cannot live Christianity in a vacuum. You cannot say, well, it's me and my faith. I'm out there. No, 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 no. It doesn't work like that. You see, I grew up Pentecostal. I wish God said to me that the community of believers is important. Yeah. Here was I thinking, it's my faith and it's me doing my thing. I can, no, 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 no. No, no. When they ask Peter, you remember in Acts chapter 3, they asked Peter, how did you heal that lame man? That man sitting at the gate beautiful for 38 years. Crippled. How did power invade his legs and now we can stand? Peter said, I'm glad you ask. Peter said, it is that name, Jesus, and the faith in that name. It's not, Peter didn't say, well, I got faith and I decided. No, no, no. It is that name and the faith in that name. Oh, bless the Lord. Tell somebody, turn on the power. Yeah, you got to turn on the power. And one way you get the power turned on is to know that God is gracious. Oh, hallelujah. That God is merciful. That God is slow to anger. And it is not God that's punishing me. I just happen to live on earth. And I got power. I'm going to fix it. Oh, hallelujah. Tell somebody, God is good all the time. Tell somebody, God is gracious to me all the time. Yes, all the time. All, not sometimes, but all the time. Tell your neighbor, all the time. All the time. I want to introduce you. The reason why I started this way is because, there is an individual in the Bible who knew of the graciousness of God. And for some reason, while in Babylon, he lost faith. He gave up on God, like Zacharias did. You remember we spoke with Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias serving God for years. Asked God for a kid in his 20s. Now he's in his 80s. And the Bible says that the angel came and told Zacharias. Zacharias, almost 25, 30, 40 years past, no child. And the man is in his old age. He's written up his will. Sometimes I'm just using my, the Bible didn't say that, amen. I'm just using my imagination. Did God give you one? He gave all of us an imagination. Since I have the mic, I'm using mine's. When you have the mic, you'll use yours, amen. So the man wrote up his will. He and Elizabeth came. They said, well, easy, that's it. We'll give our cousin Lulu so much. We'll give Ray Ray so much. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll give the church some. Bless God. Amen. Yeah. Praise God, because we need to send our monies ahead of us. Praise God. And they said, that's it. So he went to do his priestly thing. And he's worshiping God, doing his priestly thing. And an angel came from nowhere and said, Zacharias, the Lord has heard your prayers. Hold on, Zacharias, hold on now. 50 years ago, I prayed for a child. You are telling me God heard me now. I came to tell you, yes, these prayers you've been praying, asking God 25, 30 years, God is still saying yes. Don't you give up on the answer. Are you with me? Don't do like Zacharias and throw in the towel. The devil is a liar. God is gracious. He's long-suffering. And he sent me to tell you he has not forgotten your prayers. Hallelujah. He'll answer all your prayers. Amen. Be careful with what the world call the... And I'm taking my time to say, they call it the imposter syndrome. You know what's the imposter syndrome? Is you defeating yourself. You being so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. You telling yourself, I've failed so many times. Things will never work out for me. Mm-hmm. I've been a failure of all my life. I have tried this. I have tried that. I have tried this. It hasn't worked. What? Why do you think this will work right now? They call it the imposter syndrome. The imposter syndrome. That is why Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, every day I get up, I have one goal, to kill myself. But I didn't say that, the Bible said. And I know, I like the expression on that on his face. What do you mean, Paul said, I get up to kill myself? I am going to give you the benefit of that explanation. Amen? Of that, I'm going to explain that statement to you. It means that he has his thoughts under control. He chains his thoughts. That's what he's talking about. Because everything starts with a thought. When a thought is sown, all of a sudden, you reap an emotion. An emotion triggers a behavior. A behavior establishes a character. And a character evolves into a personality. So Paul said, I'm stopping it at the thought level. That's what I get up to do. And if I can do that, I'll be all right. And that's what he's saying. He said, if I can take care of that imposter that's in me, that betrayer that's in me, if I can deal with it, I'll be all right. So Paul said, I die daily. He said, every day I get up, I got some words for me. Not words for you, but words for me. Well, yeah, today I had some words for me. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I got up this morning. My body said, not today. I said, not only not today, but every day. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I'm just ironing my clothes this morning. You think, thoughts, just ironing my clothes. Praise the Lord. How many days have you been doing that now? I'm just praising God. Don't you think that's a waste of time? Just wasting my, just, I'm just ironing. The imposter syndrome. I say, hey, now. I know who you are. It happens to everybody. You think it only happens to you. Telling me, you're wasting your time. You've been in that Christian thing so long. How long now you've been in ministry? How long now you've served other pastors? Do you think this thing will work? Yeah, very same thing. How long you've been believing God for your healing? Job said, though he slay me. No, Job wasn't correct. I just want you to know that, because it was not God who was slaying Job. But sometimes it feels that way. And you just got to express it sometimes. You got to tell Satan, Satan, even though God slay me, I've decided to serve him. I'm not turning back. Ain't no quitting in me. Well, I just stop here to discuss a few things with you. Is that okay? Because the time is coming. I speak with a lot of saints all this week. The time is coming, brothers and sisters, when you have to decide. You have to decide, am I going to keep keeping on? Or am I going to throw in the towel? In Psalm 77, can you go to Psalm 77, verse 7? There is a guy called Asaph. Israel disobeyed God. Disobeyed God. And they found themselves in Babylon, in exile. And they knew the prophecy. God said 70 years. So they think. And then they're coming out of Babylon. And Asaph is looking at the situation. Now, this is not the same Asaph who served on the same worship team with David. This is another Asaph. Amen? And so he's in Babylon. And here, the questions he's asking. He said, will the Lord cast off forever? Lord, I've been waiting for a long time for your deliverance. It seems like nothing is happening. The more I pray, the more I worship, the more I confess, nothing is happening. You know, sometimes the praying and the confession is not for God. It's not to change the situation, but it is to change you. Can I share with you what God is interested in, saints? Let me share with you a secret. God is always interested in you becoming more refined. Yeah, more spiritually refined. Because then you are becoming more like Jesus. And the more you get like Jesus, is the better individual you'll be. The more you get like Jesus, you'll be better bread to serve to people. The more you get like Jesus, is the smile will break on your face. The more you get like Jesus, you'll be an effective employee, an effective wife, a better husband. Are you with me? It's all about coming like Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, we are not yet like Jesus, and we need to be. Well, oh, glory be to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? God, the Bible says God has one goal. One of the goals is to ensure that you and I become just like Jesus. The Bible says one day, Romans chapter 8, he says one day we all will be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God is interested in, perfecting you to be like Jesus. And the more you behave like a horse, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like a horse, always pulling against the rope, trying to break your neck. And sometimes we don't look that way because we, you know, Pastor, you know, I grew up in church, and look, I can talk church. Yes, Lord. I can let you talk. I can talk church. You'll think that this is a very holy man because I grew up in church. I know church language. That's all I know. Some of us, we've mastered that language. You know that? But inside, we haven't changed. Inside, we haven't changed. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God looks on the heart where man cannot see. And God is interested in perfecting the heart. Yeah, that's what he's interested in. Does that heart look like Jesus? So, Asaph is crying. Will the Lord cast off forever? Did God forget us? Here? In Babylon, I thought God said it 70 years. What's happening? Does God suffer from amnesia? Did he forget me? Well, right here. And will he be favorable no more? God, did your favor run out? Am I no longer highly favored? You know how we say highly favored. But Lord, where I am, it doesn't feel like I'm highly favored. Can you continue? You have some more questions for God. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Oh, is God punishing me now? Does his promise fail forever? God, I thought, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises in Christ are yes and amen. But I'm not seeing nothing happening. Are you still gracious? Are you still kind? Are you still merciful? Are you still slow to anger? Or are you angry at me? Can you say, that's real? That's real. That's real. You know, many of us ask those questions. Lord, I've been serving you all these years. I've kept myself, and yet still there is no man to put a ring on it. Well, I'm telling you, are you getting what I'm saying? So God, since you won't provide a male to put a ring on it, I'm going to get my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. I throw in the towel. You're not a good God. Well, anyhow. God, I'm a young man. I've kept myself. Where is my Ruth? Where is my Abigail? Well. Oh, bless God. Well, anyhow, some of you, God, I've been praying for this job for a long time. What's going on? You saw my tears. You've collected my tears in a bottle. I've cried before you. Lord, my body's racking with pain. There is a sickness. I know you are Jehovah Jireh. I know you've healed. You healed Naaman, an unbeliever full of leprosy. All I'm asking you is to touch my kidney. Let me share with you it as well. Amen. All I'm asking you is to touch my heart. That's all I'm asking you is to touch that certain part of my body. Lord, all I'm asking you to do is to touch my knee. Can you do that for me? You did so much for an unsaver. You know, these questions are real. You know what my complaint is? You want my complaint? I went to God. I said, God, I've been serving you a long time. I have served other pastors like a Hebrew slave. I'm telling what I told God. Sometimes it's good to tell on yourself, amen? Because the truth is, listen to me, the truth is some of you think pastors don't have trouble. And they don't ask God questions. They just walk on wind. Not me. Those guys on TV, not me. Anyhow. I've served other men of God like a Hebrew slave. I know others who started their ministry and they're further than I am. You don't hear me. I have been in ministry for the last 15 years. Lord, when are we going to grow? And guess what the Lord said to me? Guess what he said to me? Crickets. Because I know better. Crickets. That's what you get typically when you make those comments. Amen. That's what you get. That's what Asaph got. Just crickets. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? Sometimes we have to make these things real. You have to understand where you are as a Christian. Because the problem is never God. The problem is whom? Me. It's never God. But the problem is me. The Bible says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait. I see on the Lord. What do you have to do? Wait on the Lord. And be of what? Good courage. Keep showing up even when you're afraid. Ah, God, I give you praise. Keep doing what you're doing. Especially when nobody's watching. Oh, keep showing up in prayer. Keep praising. Keep worshiping. Keep spending an hour in prayer with me. Oh, hallelujah. Keep making time in your schedule to walk this place. And hey, God, we thank you. You're still all week. I'm here praising God. Lord, I thank you. And I would stand on the pulpit and say, greet 500 people. That day is going to come. What's going to happen? Hello, somebody. Oh, greet 200 people and say God is good. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Tell somebody, I still hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I still hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Don't you? I still hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Hallelujah. I think David has got the same question running from Saul for 17 years. Running from Saul saying, God, has your mercy gone clean? Have you forgotten me? I was anointed. And here am I running like a fugitive. Come on, somebody. We have examples in the Bible. Joseph, 13 years I've been a slave God. Well, hallelujah. Now I thank God for what he told us Asaph said, because there was a turnaround in Asaph's life. Let's go to verse. So Asaph is complaining in verse 7 and in verse 8. Let us see what happened in verse 9. He said, he's still complaining, sorry. Hath God forgotten to be what? Oh, we just said that God is gracious. Jehovah Rakum. God is gracious. Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? How many of you have been to God, you've cried, and you say, God, I know you can do this for me. You've done it for the people. I know you can make a way for me. What is happening? Anyhow. And the Bible says, Selah. Selah means pause, stop. And think about what you're saying. Think about, listen. Think about what you are insinuating. What are you insinuating? What are you doing? Verse 10. And I said, after Asaph stopped, and think about what he was saying. Yeah. After he realized what he was insinuating. Can you say insinuating? Because what he was doing was impugning God's character, like most of us are. He said, this is my infirmity. He said, this is my sickness. My sickness is I was saying the wrong things about God. My sickness is my analysis was incorrect. Well, you see, I think that he was able to say that. An infirmity doesn't mean you have to be physically ill. An infirmity means that you're just not saying the report of the Lord. Because whose report do you believe? Do you believe what's written or what you are feeling? Or what you're expressing? Asaph said, my infirmities, I'm expressing the wrong thing about God. He said, this is my infirmity. And the truth is, many of us Christians, can I say many of us? If we just get to that point of being anchored emotionally, can you say emotionally anchored? When we get there, we're halfway, the battle is won halfway. Halfway. When you don't let your emotions toss you through, to and through, based on what's happening to you. I'm talking about in reference to God. When you've hanging in there and asking God for a long time, what's going on? What's going on, Father? I thought I would been further in this life. I thought I've been further. I thought I've been closer to my goal. Asaph said, this is my infirmity. He said, can you thank God for the word but? But it means I'm change of direction. Change in direction of what I'm saying. But I will remember the years of your right hand. Oh, I'm going to remember these victorious days. I'm going to praise God for his goodness. God did this for me. God did this for me. God turned this around for me. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you getting me? He said, I'm going to remember what God did for me. And I'm going to say what God did for me.
Rejoice. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's what many of us don't do. And we get stuck and bitter. That's what we, yes. And sour. Praise the Lord. And it shows on our faces. He said, I'm going to remember the days. I'm going to praise God. Amen. Even if my situation hasn't changed on the outside, I'm going to change internally. Because before change takes place externally, change has to take place internally. Oh, that's when praise and worship. Amen. You begin to praise God and worship God. He was in an emotional storm. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? He was in what? Like many of us are many times. We have things going on inside of us. And then you're whispering things that's not in line with the word of God. If you don't, listen to me, if you do not say what the word says, it is an evil report. It is an infirmity. And so you and I have to remember what God says. Remember God's word. Remember God's goodness. All you got to do to remember God's goodness is free oxygen. Hello, somebody. Oh, one thing does do. Thank God. That's free. That's a blessing. It could have been worse. Hello, somebody. I was complaining one day, not verbally, but internally. And I went to Walmart, aiming to get me some water. And when I went to Walmart, I'm not criticizing anybody. I saw somebody pull up and they had the oxygen tank with them. Hello, somebody. And I said, my goodness, here am I complaining. And the oxygen is free. And somebody's paying for this. I took off in my car. Praise God. I'm not criticizing. God showed me something. Are you with me? God showed me, hey, you were here complaining. And look at somebody. And yours is free. But like many of us who are in a storm, God has one word for us. And I want to go there. I want to take us from a physical, from an emotional storm to an emotional storm. Amen? Say emotional, a physical storm, sorry. Physical storm. That's what I want to take us to, a physical storm. Because God has one answer for you and one answer for me. When we're going through challenges. Oh, Father, we thank you. It's coming up, I guarantee you. I had it somewhere. Bless God. Glory be to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, do you remember the story when Jesus fed the 5,000 and he told them, let's go on the other side, from Mark chapter 4. Can you go to Mark chapter 4, verse 37? Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. It reads, Asaph was in an emotional storm. This is a real storm. This is a physical storm. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind. So Jesus told them, let's go on the other side. He was saying, let's go where it's quiet. We preached all day. We are a bit tired. Boys, let's take a little siesta and go on the other side. Amen. So they're crossing over. And the Bible says, listen. Let's read. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It was what? Full. That's how some of us feel emotionally. When we are full, we just start saying things. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, in the stern, asleep on a what? How many of you feel sometimes like God is asleep in your situation? God, it's me. God, I'm in trouble. God, at least can you make a way? Nothing. Crickets, like he's just asleep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You feel sometimes like God is asleep in your storm. They felt that way on a pillow. He was comfortable. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I thought you were gracious. I thought you were kind. I thought you could turn things around. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you told God that? Amen. Because you are in an emotional storm. I know you can work it out for me, Jesus. I know you can turn things around. I know you can do this. What's happening? Just asleep. And Jesus arose and rebuked the what? He never rebuked them. You realize that? He never rebuked them. Because, listen to me, life has issues. And he knows that. Yes, he does. So he wasn't saying, what he was saying is, I know you got issues. I'm not even going to deal with it. Let me deal with the issues itself. And Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace. What? Be still. And now he's going to address them. Let me tell you, Jesus is concerned about your situation more than you're concerned about it. Let me say that again. Jesus is concerned about your issue. The issue you are facing, God is more concerned about it than you. Yes. That's how much he loves you. He's aware of it. And he said to them, listen. He said, and the wind ceased. And there was a what? A great calm. And now he's going to talk to them, which is what God sent me to tell you today. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? That's God's question. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so... The next question is, how is it that you have no faith? That is the issue. How is that? We just preached for an entire day. You just saw miracle signs and wonders. How is it? Been a Christian for years. How is it? You have no faith. And don't stop there. It's faith in God. Not your faith to do whatever you want. How is it that you have no faith, no confidence in God? How is it? And you know, that's what happens. When we have no faith and confidence in God, we say the wrong things. We get ourselves infirmed. And let me say spiritually infirmed. Because what we say, amen, doesn't correlate with what the Bible says. And that's a major problem. You have to say what the word says. Be like the centurion. He said, speak the word only. And he said, when you do that, my servant shall be healed. He did not even say, my servant might be healed. This is an unbeliever. A centurion, an unbeliever, telling Jesus, send the word only. And when you do that, I know my servant will be healed. And he said, Jesus, this is how I know. I am a man under authority. I know the power of words within a rank. Nobody question a word that's given from an officer. Only in Christianity we question the word. Yeah, only in Christianity. But not in the army. In the army, yes, sir. Did you ever doubt your commander's? Did you ever doubt his command? No. Dr. Pia, did you ever do that? No. They never. It's sir, yes, sir. Not sir. Oh, no. No, no, no. No. Mr. Gilmore, did you ever, your commanding officer, did you say, sir, I don't think so? No, you cannot say that. Because there is order from the top and it comes down through the ranks. And they understand that. There is an established authority. But we Christians, well, I'm not sure, you know. Maybe you think the God thing, you know. And then we have the audacity to sing, I'm a soldier in the army. Long time ago, let me share with you. The Bible portrays the Christian as an athlete, run the race as a farmer, Mark chapter 4, sowing the seed. also as a soldier. But listen to me, not a soldier in the sense of being disciplined, a soldier in the sense of being under authority. Yes, yes. I've heard many people say, I'm a soldier, I'm disciplined. Yes, yes, yes. But there is a second aspect to it. You have to be a soldier, is under authority. Under what? You need to ask yourself, brothers and sisters, am I under authority? Am I going to say something different from what my commanding officer says? Or am I going to say what he says? And that is the problem. Asaph, brothers and sisters, Asaph is saying something different. Many of us are saying something different. The disciples, the apostles on the ship saying something different. Master, don't you care? We're about to die here. And Jesus just showed them how to use the word. Just said to them, just read the story in Mark chapter 4. You will see the parables that preceded that particular account. Jesus showed them the power of the word of God. The problem is, brothers and sisters, we need to find ourselves under authority. Can you say under authority? Yes, because God is gracious. And you'll experience the graciousness of God when you find yourself where? Ask the prodigal son. He got out from under the graciousness of God, went and ate pig food. And then he said, hold on now, hold on. Hello. Hello, somebody, hold on. The servants in my father's house are not eating what I'm eating. I think I'm going back. That's why the Bible says God is what? Merciful. He said, I know something about my dad. I know he's merciful. Yes, I do. And I know he's slow to anger. Yes, I do. So I'm going to ask for a second chance. A second what? And the Bible says he went, but God saw him from way back there. God is always looking, because he's the God of a second chance. Always looking to see if you'll turn around. Amen. Always looking to see. Amen. Did I show enough grace to him so he knows who I am? Will he run back to me? Yes, yes, yes. Will she come back to me? And so, brothers and sisters, hear me. God looked and God saw him coming. And when he came, God said to him, I'm going to put you under punishment. No. No. You see, I would do that. I remembered when I was about 19, 20, 21. Because of what I'm teaching now, I didn't know better. I left the church. I'd believe in God for something and it didn't work out. And somebody whispered to me, you're still a Christian serving God? And I said, let me forget about that thing. Listen to me. I went into the club. Let me tell you. I went into the club, but hear me. Somebody said, you don't belong there. You cannot dance. Somebody said, yeah, you know, it's one thing to dance Christian music, amen? But in the world, it's just different. And so I get back to church. When I get back to church, do you know the pastor brought me on the stage and said, Brother Emmanuel has returned. Yes, yeah. Now he has to ask the entire church for forgiveness. Man, I was shaking. One to humiliate me. Hear me. I'm telling you what I've been through. Use me as an example to threaten the others. Don't do that. How many of you know that's not godly? That's ungodly. That's the kind of regime I was brought up in. Very judgmental. I call it a regime. It's not Christianity. Now I'm beginning to understand the grace. As I keep my head in God's word, I kept saying, why didn't they tell me that God was gracious? Why didn't they tell me that God was loving and he was kind? Why didn't they tell me that? Why didn't they tell me that he was merciful, Mr. Gilmore? Why did they tell me? Why did they only tell me it's a fearful thing to fall in his hands because he'll tear you apart? The prodigal son ran back to his father. And before he explained his situation, the father said, get him a robe. Get him new sandals. Look, get the signet ring back on his finger. Give him back his authority. His identity. because I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'm kind. And I'm slow to anger. Hear me, saints. We need to know that in these last days. I'm going to end in 2 minutes. We need to know this in these last days. Because if you do not, you will get discouraged. Someone, somebody, some situation out there will get you to throw in the towel. And then your life is going to take a downward spiral. Are you hearing me, saints? God is gracious. Look, you hang in there. I got a last verse for you. This is what God gave me for you. I was studying last night, and this is what the Lord gave me for you. Lord, I hope I place it down. I think it's Psalms 27. Is it Proverbs 27, verse 18 or 19? Oh, Lord, help me. What does it say? Proverbs 27, verse 18. This is the word of the Lord to you. Hear it quickly if I bring it to a close. Listen. It says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. What it says? Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Colon is going to elaborate further. In the same way, he that waiteth on his master shall be what? The Bible says, listen to what the Bible says. He who waits on the fig tree, in other words, if you plant seed and you tend it and you take care of it and you nurture it, and you ensure that it blooms, it's going to bring forth fruit and you're going to eat from it. In the very same way. Are you getting me? God is telling you God is saying, hear me, there is a principle called seed, time, and harvest. Yes, that's what God is saying. There is a time for seed. There is a time to allow time to pass. And sure enough, there is a time for harvest. Are you getting me? There is a time for what? Harvest. And are you getting sense what God is saying? God said, certainly, if you do that, you will be honored by your master. And some of you are saying, Father, I tell you, it's been a long time. What else must I do? Listen. Eat. Right? Eat. I had somebody said to me, I told somebody last week, the audacity. I said, eat. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? Eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Luke chapter 4 verse 4. Man, human beings shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every what? That's what I'm saying. Eat. Eat. Devour. And the person had the audacity to say to me, I have been eating. I said, is that so? Give me 10 scriptures. Book, chapter, and verse. Hello, somebody. Hello. You said you've been eating. There is a principle tucked in Genesis 8:22. Until the earth remains, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. If you say you've been seeding, you've been eating, let me see. 10. Book, chapter, and verse. I said, yes, you've been doing something, but not eating. Yeah, you've been doing something, but you've not been eating. Let me share this with you. Gone are the days where we have to stop playing games. Hear me. Not because you've been a Christian for 50 years, you've been eating. Some of you. Anyhow. Let me say that again. Not because you've been a Christian for 50 years. I'm telling you, I was challenged. Challenged. Mr. Gilmore, challenged, because I claim I was eating years ago. And the person said to me, you go ahead. Show me the food you've been eating. Bring up something. Show some signs. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. But God, listen to me. God said to you, if you wait on him, certainly you shall be honored.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today. knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capitol Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church, 850-408-8496.